I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Audrey, it is just so exciting. We have not taken Tech Vibe Radio on the road in quite a while, and
I'm so excited. We had to wait for springtime.
We had to wait for springtime.
We were remanded for the winter.
That's what it was. Remanded for the winter. I love it. It's true. So yes. We are hanging out with Huntington Bank for our Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour here at LifeX, whose mission is to help reduce the global disease burden. Fantastic work going on here and across Pittsburgh's life sciences and across Southside. We can't tell these awesome stories without Huntington Bank getting behind us and saying, hey, come over here and tell some stories. Like, okay, we'll do it. I love it. It's exciting
because the stories that we've been talking about today are really tied to the future and not just being diminishing the work that's gone on in tech, but these are really life-changing solutions. And the community needs to get around it. They really need to wrap their heads around the work that these scientists are doing. And getting scientists out of their natural habitat into the commercial world isn't really easy.
No, it's not.
As you well know.
Yeah.
In terms of Huntington Bank and helping, you know, small businesses.
Exactly.
And we have
Lindsay Kost here from Huntington Bank. And thanks for hanging out with us to get the show into high gear.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. We're so excited. We're very committed to spreading the word and getting these scientists, as you say, out into the commercial space and the messaging of what they're accomplishing here in the community.
They're untold stories, and we get to tell them.
Yeah, they really are untold. And you know, a lot of these people who have actually come up through science and academics are not used to talking about what they're really working on, other than in their academic settings or through papers or through their colleagues. And now they have to sort of tell the world what they're working on. And there are many people who don't understand the kinds of problems that they're solving in academic speak. So it's so cool for us to be able to talk to them and break it down so that you and I can understand what it is that they're trying to solve. And they need money.
They do.
I mean, they really need money in all shapes and sizes. And I know Huntington Bank's been the region's preeminent in terms of Small Business Association 7A loans and helping women and underrepresented people get access to money.
Access to capital is a huge part of what we at Huntington are committed to doing here in the small business community. But the way that we can support businesses thriving and the communities thriving crosses the gamut of just the access to capital, which we are very excited about. But what we're doing here today and the opportunity to get to support the community tours and supporting the promotion of what they're doing and help your support in being their advocate and a launching pad for their messaging is so meaningful. And we're so excited to be a part of that because we view our mission at Huntington to be a supporter of our community in the sense that the businesses in the community form the community. They hire the community. They support the community. As we help the businesses thrive, we're helping our communities grow.
And what better part of the community than our life sciences community, who are, they're building some really tough companies here that take decades to build, but they're improving the quality of people's lives. And what good is a community if everybody's sick, if people aren't feeling well? And this industry, I think, is just aimed right at that sweet spot of, like, impacting people and the world in so many positive ways. And Huntington Bank gets right behind it with us to tell these stories.
Absolutely, Jonathan. We get excited to share the success of any firm that's really growing the community. But there is certainly something special when you're talking about reducing the disease burden.
Exactly.
And how that impacts future generations.
Small thing like that.
That is a meaningful contribution that these firms are making, these innovators are making. And we are excited about what they're doing. And it's just fascinating to hear some of the projects that they're working on and how they can delve into these problems that you, frankly, as a lay person without experience in the life sciences, I'm not even aware that these really were meaningful problems.
To understand that they're
also digging into these solutions.
Exactly.
And innovating in this way is very thrilling.
So what are some of the things that you do in your role at Huntington that people would be not just, they'd be surprised to hear, but they need to know?
Well, I think that my role at Huntington as our SBA product specialist is to provide capital for firms that are in a really entrepreneurial space. Mm-hmm. What that means for firms like this is that I help provide debt solutions for firms that are growing or even starting up. Huntington has injected in the Pittsburgh community, we injected $35 million in capital to firms using this program last year.
That's amazing.
And these are firms that are our startup, and they discount their opportunities, and their advisors don't think that there's necessarily bank funding.
Right.
It's often overlooked, it seems like, but you need to look at that first.
And it can be really impactful for the innovators themselves, because when you're thinking about debt funding versus, you know, equity raises, it can be a meaningful decision matrix that they need to weigh into.
Right.
How much of the enterprise, frankly, do they get to maintain control over to help fulfill their vision to the end stage?
And that's why I always say, don't be shy. Reach out and contact Lindsay. Like, these people want to help. They want to hear from you. Don't feel like you can't navigate these channels to find out, you know, if there's a good fit as far as that is.
And so what's some of the profile of the SBA 7s? Are there any kind of generalities that maybe you can tease us with?
Well, it's exciting that you can use the program when there are limited fixed assets. So when you're talking about...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we can fund basically unsecured commercial loans. We have to take whatever collateral is available by the program. But it means that for firms where the assets are intangible, they are IP, then we can still look to leverage this as a funding solution to make projects work. So we can use the funds for payroll. You can use the funds to cover...
Wow.
The rent, and it's not just fixed, you know, bankable programs like buying equipment. Certainly we can do that with the program.
Right.
But it can handle a lot of the intangible working capital.
The day-to-day operation stuff, right? Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the program is not for all startups.
Right.
It's always a question of a conversation and whether it's the right fit for the program.
Right.
But it can surprise some firms to think that this might be an option for them to consider.
No, I encourage people to do that. They should have a conversation with you and your team, because there are things that typically when you are starting a company, you don't know everything. And you think that there's one pathway just because you have that information coming at you. But what you don't understand is there's different ways to think about how you want to own your company and grow it.
Absolutely. And we aren't a one solution institution. So the conversation may mean, hey, this isn't the right program for you, but I can still provide you some guidance that another client of ours has done. We still have some other options for you to consider.
That's why it's so important.
Conversation.
Have the conversation. Reach out. Go to Huntington.com and check it out and learn more. And I can't thank you guys enough for making our show tonight at LifeX possible, because we couldn't do it without you. And we're having some important conversations, and we're kicking off with Evan Thatcher, who's the interim CEO of LifeX. He's going to tell us the latest on LifeX and really how this place functions and how it's helping life sciences really rocket forward here in the Pittsburgh area. And like I said, these are important stories, Audrey. I cannot wait to get on with it. Simple as that. So, and Lindsay, thank you so much
for being part of this. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Audrey.
You guys are just a tremendous resource out there for the tech world, and you need to know Huntington's out there to help you out. Simple as that. So anyhow, we're taking a quick break, and we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio on location at LifeX in Pittsburgh's historic Southside. I had to say it that way just for fun, right? Can I say it that way? No one's laughing.
Well, the rest of the world won't know what you mean.
They probably won't, but I did. So that's so funny. Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio every single Friday night. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. Audrey, it is too much fun when we take the show on the road to LifeX on Pittsburgh's historic South Side with Huntington Bank. We get to have so much fun with Huntington.
This is great. It's great to be back in this space. I don't know if I can mention that.
You should.
This is great space. This is Maya Design's space after they left Sydney Street. And they were pioneers. Maya tends to be pioneers in lots of ways, not just space. So we're sitting here in Kiva And the kiva is a round room contained with all whiteboards, and it has capability to capture almost anything that you write on the walls. I don't know if they still have that system rigged up in here. No, you don't, according to our maestro, who we're going to talk to
exactly.
in a minute.
Who is that maestro, Audrey? Yeah.
He's going to say, nope, we don't have that. Yeah. But let me pass the baton. It's great to be here. And it's great to be here at LifeX to talk about what's happening.
We're glad to have you both here. Excited to talk about what we're doing.
Yeah. So, Evan Thatcher, you're a man with many hats, as we said before. You do so many things while being the interim CEO of LifeX here. Who is Evan Thatcher?
So, I am, in my day job, I'm the Vice Chancellor for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Pitt. I'm also the Director of the Innovation Institute. And starting about 3 months ago, I was asked to serve as an interim CEO for LifeX, given the connection between what LifeX is doing and what we're attempting to do at the university as well.
I mean, yeah, Pitt and life sciences are like, they just go hand in hand.
So let's dive in, right? So we're here at LifeX, so why don't we start with that and talk about what the vision of LifeX is.
So a lot of the reasons why LifeX was created was due to some of the output from the Brookings Report that basically said we are punching above our weight as it relates to new ideas in the life sciences coming from the region. So if you just look in that 1.7 square mile region of Oakland that contains Pitt and CMU and UPMC, it's over 30% of the total university R&D for the entire state of Pennsylvania is in that little tiny area. And because of that, and because of the health system, and because of the way Pitt has from a National Institutes of Health funding perspective, there are so many life sciences ideas that are being generated in that little footprint. And the challenge has always been taking those ideas and then making sustainable companies of them and keeping them in the region. So the goal was, how do you take those ideas and make sure they go through the university systems, but they stay here? And one of the missing elements was, once they get out of the university's hands, we give them a pat on the back and a congratulations and a good luck. And
good luck. Tell us how that works out.
There's no safety net for them. And while they're inside the university systems, they have years of safety nets and they have years of working with us. And then they get the door and we say, see you later. And they say, well, what do we do next? Life sciences is very complicated. And they didn't have that amount of help.
It is. And talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, people think, oh, you know, this is what commercialization looks like, or there are people who are listening and have no clue.
Sure. So the average time to take a therapeutic from idea to the market is probably over a decade and probably costs near $1 billion. And that's because life sciences projects are so complicated, because we have an idea that's going to eventually get into somebody's body. And we have no idea how it's going to work or how it's going to react. Using animal studies are useful, but until it's in humans, we really don't know what the impact is going to be on humans. So in order to make sure that there's safety and then there's some kind of efficacy, we have to test large numbers of humans. And that takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of specific capability related to clinical trial design, regulatory, reimbursement, things that aren't as straightforward as programming something in a computer code or making some kind of piece of hardware. You have all these additional regulatory burdens you have to deal with.
It's people's lives, after all, and which is why obviously all the testing and the horizons take so long for that. Which is why I think it's amazing that we have these resources here in Pittsburgh, because you said having all of this capability, and now to really be able to focus that and help these companies stay on that path is amazing.
Yep. And the idea is, how do we give them that help that they need over the longer period of time?
So what happens in the safety net?
So inside of the safety net, there are, A, it's the creation of an ecosystem. So there's this convening effect where we're trying to get more and more of these companies to be either physically here, they can rent office space, more like a co-working space, or we have events, we bring outside speakers, we have office hours, we have these Tuesday bio breakfasts. So we want this to be a place where people that are in that space can come. If they are portfolio companies, they get additional help from entrepreneurs and residents. They can get access to other services that are provided here that just someone off the street may not get. But it's very analogous to what we're doing on a campus perspective, where you get access to an individual that can help continue to hold your hand. You can get additional education and additional training. But here it's really specifically focused on the life sciences needs, or the life sciences education.
And so for our listeners, define life sciences. Mm-hmm.
So for us, life sciences is really any technology that is going to provide a healthcare benefit to an individual. So it could be a drug, it could be a medical device, it could be a piece of software that's used in the hospital system. So it's anything really that is going to help a human live a better life in one form or another. So it is, it's actually fairly broad.
It is pretty broad. Mm-hmm. And are there examples of this other places in the country?
Yes. So a lot of the more successful regions that do life sciences that we know of, the Bostons and the San Franciscos, and the Research Triangle Parks and the DCs, they have these other organizations that are not within inside of the university that provide this kind of help and this kind of service and really try to take these ideas from where they're created locally and have them stay locally and grow up and be successful.
And having the university behind that, I think is just absolutely amazing. And to have this resource here is just so great. You talked before about the community, which I think is so important because the men and women that are building these companies, I mean, it's like trench warfare.
Yes.
I mean, it is, you said, a decade for someone to build a company and the tenuous path that must be on, and to have other people they can who've been there, done that. I know some of the folks we're going to have on today, you know, they've been down that road. So to have those people all stopping by, being in the same building from time to time, must be huge.
Yeah.
Kind of keeping the morale up and the hood ornament pointing forward, right?
It's, yeah, because we have this cross section of individuals. We've got someone who you'll talk to who was an undergraduate. Their work in their undergraduate field at Pitt was something that they then created a company around. So this is someone who a few years ago was a senior in college, and now he's the CEO of a medical device company.
It's awesome.
All the way through folks that may have been repeat entrepreneurs, and they're doing it again, and they're here as well. So you get this. It couldn't really be a broader mix, but it allows all those individuals to see things from different perspectives.
Yeah.
So in your day job,
yes.
What's your day job?
So my day job at Pitt is really overseeing the commercialization infrastructure of the university. So all the intellectual property that's created on campus, all of these ideas that will eventually emanate here, taking those technologies, assessing which ones we want to move forward with, which ones are going to become new companies, we'll license a large number to existing big companies. So it's taking that nearly $1 billion of R&D that's happening on Pitt's campus.
This is like number three, isn't it?
From a National Institutes of Health perspective.
Right.
That's just right here
in Pittsburgh, in Oakland, which is just so amazing.
Sitting right next to one of the largest healthcare systems in the U.S. That's why
exactly.
Kind of this LifeX idea
right.
has been a long time coming. We have one of the top healthcare systems and one of the top research institutes, and a lot of those ideas don't stay here. They go elsewhere. We
exactly.
want to keep them all local.
Keep them all here, and that's what you guys are doing. Amazing stuff. First off, we're so glad you're doing what you're doing. Because
right, so what
Pittsburgh.
Do you do for fun?
Yeah.
What do you do for fun? This is fun. Look at this. We have the opportunity to really change the region and the innovation economy. And there's,
exactly.
We think that we have such a upside opportunity that we're starting to take advantage of that this is fun. This is exciting.
Love it.
Super, this is great. Cool. Any other interesting things going on at the university that you want to share?
Lots of interesting things. We had reveal day. We officially announced the return of the retro colors for Pitt on a permanent basis.
Very cool.
What are the retro colors?
It's more of the yellow and the blues versus kind of the gold and the darker blue. So all the older colors are coming back. Big party on Bigelow yesterday. Unveiled the new Nike store that we have right on campus.
Oh, right.
Love it.
That's exciting.
Did you bear gifts?
There are lots of things going on.
Yes. Very cool. Hey, we got to take a break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio from LifeX here in the South Side, brought to you by Huntington Bank. They make the Tech Vibe Radio Neighborhood Tour TNT happen. So glad to have them as partners. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Oh my goodness, Audrey. I just love being able to hang out here at LifeX. It's like a bit of a reunion for you.
It is. I love being here. This is old Maya space.
I know.
And sitting here in the Kiva, sequestered in here.
Yeah, it makes for a great place to interview people.
It is. It's great. The sound is great in here, too.
It is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just love being able to learn about some of these new companies, just knowing that LifeX is here starting to build and grow itself. You think of all that research that's happening over at the University of Pittsburgh. And how they're taking that and turning it into companies and using this to help accelerate the companies and connect them?
Well, it's also not easy. It's not easy when, very often when we talk about these other tech companies that are like in in robotics or their apps or, you know,
right.
it's an AI, whatever it may be, we always say, take advantage, get to know them, use their products,
right.
connect them with
right.
opportunities. It's not so easy yeah. with companies that are in life sciences.
That's
when people are trying to solve these really complex problems for a particular niche situation or a health failure.
Exactly.
It's just not that easy.
And that's just like our next segment. So we had Joe Pugar from Aruga Technologies. He couldn't make it in, so I said, you got to come to our podcast
right.
studio at the place. And he's solving a really tough problem. Actually, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, for bypass surgeries, the idea of grafting in vessels,
mm-hmm.
actually creating an artificial vessel that functions like a real vessel, actually replicating the interior of these vessels, just like the human ones, where when it constricts, it creates these channels, and then that allows the vessel to clear out. And the current ones in the market don't do that,
right.
so they clog up a lot easier.
Really?
And this guy is just out of mm-hmm. Pitt's engineering department and got the inspiration
real
for this company.
Real basic plumbing.
Real basic plumbing, but super tough but problem to solve.
And, you know, you've got to test it in animals. You've got to test it, go through a process
yeah.
that's quite complex. So these things cost our medical systems and our insurance companies a lot
exactly.
of money.
So he's actually starting with the dialysis market because, I guess, for the different stents they put into you, they need something that they can be used over and over again. So he's starting with that to prove they can be used for bypass. So he's got a great story.
Wow, that's a great story.
Let's check it out right now and see what he has to say. Yep, so we are talking to Joe Pugar here from Aruga Technologies. And I'm so glad you're able to talk with us and be part of our broadcast tonight because you're building a really cool company. And I cannot wait for you to tell our listeners about everything that you're doing and about your background, because you're definitely a dynamic guy. Just having fun talking to you before actually hitting the record button here. And there's just so much going on. We got to cram this into 10 minutes. Yeah. So welcome, and thanks for hanging out with us, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
So first off, what's your background, Joe? You're an engineering student at one point. You had an idea for a company, and dang it, you're building one.
Yeah, so actually Pittsburgh born and bred. Grew up in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. University of Pittsburgh in engineering was sort of always the dream. And
gotcha.
When I got in, definitely wanted to pursue it. But along the way, started getting really involved in a science called biomimicry, which is the...
What is biomimicry?
Yeah, so it's a really big buzzword right now. It's a field of science that's growing, and it's a good thing that it is because it's nature-inspired engineering. So basically saying, we want to engineer and design technologies for the future. Low energy and sustainability is an important part of technologies of the future. Well, what does things the most low energy and the most sustainable around us? Nature. Over, you know, 3.8 billion years of evolution.
You say, Mother Nature is the master engineer, right?
I mean, yeah.
She's figured some stuff out.
3.8 billion years of R&D that's just at our fingertips. Why don't we inspire the new technologies of the future the same way nature solves those problems?
And that's exactly what Aruga does when it comes to the vascular system, right?
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're designing the vascular implants of the future. And really what we wanted to do is we wanted to make a synthetic vascular implant for a bypass surgery or a dialysis access surgery.
And there's a huge need for this too, right?
Huge need. I mean, it is coronary artery bypass is the leading cause of artery disease in the world. If a patient needs to be opened up and do bypass around their surgeries, unfortunately, their surgeon has to harvest vein from elsewhere in their body.
Would they go like their leg or something like that? And
exactly.
they got to do an incision there?
Yeah.
And then...
So I actually had an uncle about 4 months ago, and, you know, they really say that the entrepreneur's pitch is really when it starts to hit home.
Exactly.
And this is when it hit home for me. I had an
okay.
uncle that found out he needed a coronary bypass surgery. So that means 5 bypasses around his heart. He had to be opened up in both of his forearms, both
oh,
of his calves,
God.
And his abdominal, and then they opened up his heart just to do the surgery.
Oh my, he was like filleted, man. That's
right.
crazy.
Scars everywhere. So really what Aruga's trying to do is make it so that when that surgery needs to be done, an off-the-shelf prosthetic can be used and only you need to open up the patient once and then do the 5 bypasses around their heart
right.
with a purely synthetic, very convenient
Talk
material.
About less invasiveness, saving money, improving the quality of life,
right.
faster recovery time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about your product is that it mimics nature, as you were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building something that actually functions like an actual blood vessel.
That's
and this is something
I
that I learned by going to your website, that I didn't realize how blood vessels work and how they're shaped on the inside and mm-hmm. their texture, which leads to the name of your company. So I got this multi-pronged question here.
Sure,
I'm
yeah.
too excited. So first off, tell us about
how vessels actually look inside and how you're mimicking that and how that ties into the name of your company.
Yeah. So when we think of, you know, arteries and veins, we think of a network of, you know, to take blood throughout the body. And we usually think of these very static pipes almost is how we sort of make an analogy in our head of them. But our arteries are very living. Of course, they're in our bodies. They're very dynamic. They pulse. They move. They're imperfect. They don't have these very, you know, symmetric shapes. And that's exactly what we studied. We wanted to say, okay, what are arteries doing that we're born with that the artificial implants we're implanting aren't doing? And what we notice is that they expand and contract with every heartbeat. And even as they expand and contract, when they're at those contracted pressures, the inside lumen or the inside surface of these arteries are very smooth. But when they contract these corrugations, these
the wrinkles, ridges and stuff, right?
Yeah, this topography generates at the surface. Well, this is evolution's self-cleaning mechanism.
Ah, so when they crinkle up, it releases plaque and other things like that would normally like stick.
Right. So in addition to the complex biochemistry and the materials and sort of all those other things, this is our body's purely physical geometric approach to keeping those surfaces clean of infectious materials, platelets, other clots, and things that will eventually make these vessels go down.
So that's a couple 100,000 years of engineering going on right there.
Absolutely.
So this ties into the name of your company then, which I think is so cool because this ties into that those ridges and that topography that's inside these vessels. So tell us about that.
Arruga is actually Spanish for wrinkle, the word wrinkle. And because arruga was so close to artery, it was one of these things where when we were brainstorming about a name for the company, because we did really wanted something that was going to be as elegant and as, you know, sort of seamless and simple as what our design is. I mean, we're just mimicking nature.
Exactly.
So I think when...
mimicking nature.
simple. Right. So when we found out that arruga was Spanish for wrinkle, and when arruga sounded so much like artery, and it was simpler, and it was a lot more elegant than our previous name, which was Topo Systems.
Oh, a much better name.
Not arruga. Proud of, but yeah, that was...
You got to start somewhere.
We were academics at the time. We had no idea. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're really happy with the name. I think that it's something that people will also be able to, you know, connect. They'll be able to hear that name. And if they know, oh, those are the guys that are doing the wrinkling.
Exactly.
Wrinkling graphs. Those are cool.
So awesome, man. Yeah. I just love it. So you've been a part of LifeX for a while now. Tell us what that means to be hanging out at LifeX and how that's helping you, you know, build your company more successfully, helping you make connections, all that kind of good stuff that you need.
Yeah.
Because you're not building a simple company here. I got to tell our listeners that building any company is super tough. Mm-hmm. Building a life sciences company, a device company, you know, those are the toughest ones to build because you're talking about dealing with the human body. And so the horizons are so much longer to actually get to an event where you're in the marketplace and making money.
Yeah. So I think of everything you said is absolutely correct. And there's a lot of challenges that await us a lot. There's a long road ahead. But in order to get that done, I think placing, especially as early as we are type companies in a co-working space, and I'm talking about the general, you know, good pros of a co-working space, being able to talk to people that have done this before, being able to, you know, be in a dynamic environment, chat with people, not be, you know, locked up in your, you know, in your office all day, steaming wet, you know, away, you know, 12-hour work days, you can sort of start to go crazy after a while.
Just a little bit, surely.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I think being there, being able to ask people that have done this before, the veterans of the life sciences startup game, whenever you're having a bad day or whenever you don't know what to do, it's invaluable. I mean, the information there, to be able to have it in a conversation rather to spend over an hour, hour and a half researching it online or something like that. Hey, what should I do with this FDA approach? What should I do with this manufacturing guideline?
You got a community around you.
You go and you have a 15-minute conversation with someone. It's a real experience, and it's just this validated source of information, and it really gets you excited for the challenges. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Because when they do present themselves, even though they're very daunting at first and we've never done this before, we know that we're in an area of people that not only are going to support us, but even accelerate us through that
challenge. That's what I'm talking. That's why I think LifeX is so important to have that here in Pittsburgh to help companies like yours kind of move forward. We got a couple minutes left, and I'm just so curious about like where you are in the stage of getting your product to market. I know you're starting first with the dialysis market, correct?
Yeah. So even though coronary artery bypass and being able to supply an off-the-shelf device there is our home run. That is our end goal. That has been the holy grail of sorts of the vascular
surgery. Inspiration to get it going, right?
Absolutely, because that's never been done before. But especially from our startup perspective, a really capital efficient approach to bring such a new, and it's going to need to be an adopted technology.
It's disruptive as well, too.
Very disruptive. We found out that dialysis access surgeries, which uses a very similar type of device, but now gets implanted in a patient that's going to be on hemodialysis's arm.
And that's somebody who's having blood, they're having their blood filtered out like on a regular basis.
Right. So
they're
three to four times a week.
They're always being tapped into, so they need something that's a little more solid than just a vein, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, sometimes veins are used. That's called an AV fistula, but also AV grafts are used, and they're significantly more convenient. So being able to introduce our longevity and performance value to those devices is very important for us as a first indication of use. And then we want to work up the complexity ladder to the home run.
And that gets you into the market. That gets doctors and clinicians knowing what you do. And then you start learning things from that you know you can apply towards doing the bypass.
And then, and then the adoption and the ability to scale up is autocatalytic and of a sort. You know, once we show efficacy early on in those dialysis studies that are a little bit lower risk, quicker through regulatory approval.
Very cool.
We get to sort of build up the steam engine.
That is so exciting. People learn more about where can they go and check you out?
Right. So www.arugatechnologies.com.
Cool.
That's our website, but I'm also on LinkedIn. The company's on LinkedIn. It's definitely where people, if they want to get the latest on us, can go find out. We tend to give the highlights. We'd like to provide highlights every couple months, so it is updated pretty regularly.
Keep track of it, yeah.
And we're excited to share some good news, hopefully, in the coming months.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Hopefully there'll be some good stuff on
there. We need 100 more Joe Pugars here in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing, because it's men and women like you that are really making Pittsburgh tick these days, and I'm so glad I got to talk to you and learn more about what you're doing. Transformative stuff.
Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you having me.
Very, very cool. Oh my goodness, Audrey. Sometimes certain people show up to Tech Vibe Radio. You never know who's going to stop by Tech Vibe Radio. People maybe we've known for quite some time. Maybe
it's
somebody who was
a
former boss or something like that.
He was my boss.
I know. Exactly. John
Great
Freeland.
Boss. Yeah, my claim to fame is who was the chair at the Tech Council when we hired Audrey. So
I know.
They have me to blame here, Audrey.
That's so funny. So
you
crazy.
Are an amazing partner. Amazing partner. And at the time, you were CEO of MedRad.
That's right, yeah.
And you had your hands filled with lots of things going on with MedRad.
Yeah, the MedRad story is a good one.
It is.
Yeah, I think when I started there, revenues were $3 million. When I left there, revenues were $750 million. So
that's what I'm talking about, John. That's why. That's
quite
why.
Quite a ride in between.
That's why I'm so excited that Huntington Bank, they sponsor our Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour here at LifeX. And LifeX is like, do you know John Friel? When that comes up by the show, I'm like, do I know John Friel? The guy that kind of made MedRad. I'm like, of course.
I'm not the guy that made MedRad.
You had a team.
MedRad employees are the ones who made MedRad.
Of course, of course.
Right. You had a lot of great people.
We had great people.
But the buck ended with
you. If any of them are out there listening to this.
Absolutely, yeah.
The MedRad employees were awesome.
Of course.
And you actually have helped spawn, you and MedRad, helped spawn a lot of startup companies.
Yeah, there's a lot of MedRadians that are now spread around town.
Right? MedRadians.
Different companies.
Is that how they're referred to, as MedRadians?
That's the way I refer to
them. That's cool. I love it, man. That's
I mean, so that's the amazing gift that keeps on giving. And he was also the board chair at the Tech Council. But let's sort of dive in a little bit into your new activity.
Yeah, you talk about spawning businesses, right?
Right.
I'm working with Dr. Howman again. Dr. Howman's the guy who founded MedRad.
That's
so crazy.
He's also
the guy who founded Intech Systems.
Right.
He's also the guy who founded LifeCore, and I was involved in all three of those projects with him.
And now you're bringing the band back together
again.
He's
got one more left.
Oh, my goodness.
Every time he says he's not going to do it.
Deja vu all over again.
I love it.
So talk about this new company.
Yeah, so VASCore. First of all, we're developing a device that's used to treat heart failure. Ventricular assist device is what they're called. It's an implantable device. And the patients that are candidates for this are patients that are candidates for having a heart transplant. So very sick.
Yeah.
They're called class 4 heart failure
That
patients.
Sounds very serious to me.
It's very serious.
Yeah.
These are people who I would have a hard time just getting up off the couch and going into the kitchen or whatever.
Wow.
So very, very sick. And they're, one of the treatments is heart transplant. But there are about 2,000 heart transplants done a year in the United States.
How many on the list? 100,000?
That's the number.
I totally guessed that.
You guessed right.
Wow, I'm pretty good.
There's some studies that estimate that the number of patients who were candidates to receive a heart transplant could number as high as 100,000.
That's amazing.
So clearly the available hearts, the supply of hearts is outstripped by the demand. So alternative treatment for that is what's called a ventricular assist device. And that's what we're
developing. VASCor is developing, right.
And there are existing products on the market right now. There are two companies, big companies, Abbott and Medtronic. And it is an existing market. It's a $1 billion market, and there are market forecasts that are projected to grow to $2 billion a year. So it's a very significant market. But the existing VADs that are on the market, they have serious complications. There's a database, a federally mandated database, that every single VAD that's implanted, you have to participate. It's called Intermax. So there's data. There's really good data on every single VAD that's ever been implanted. And so the data shows that patients that get a VAD, the 1 year incidence of what they call serious adverse events is 72%.
Ooh, it's sounding like the odds aren't so good on your side there.
So it's for patients that are in this situation, if they can't get a heart, the alternative treatment is a VAD, but the VADs carry serious risk with them as well. And the FDA has even published a safety letter to the practitioners, the hospitals and the folks that do these implants, saying, look, we know we approve this. They do extend life, but you need to be really careful because they come.
Right. Such consequence, right?
So where VASCor fits in is we have developed a ventricular assist device and have come up with a novel technology that deals with the root causes of these serious adverse events. So the adverse events are bleeding, infection, stroke, death. Right.
Yeah.
So won't go into all the detail, but just to give you an example, one of the causes of these serious adverse events is infection. The infection is caused because the existing VADs have a drive line that supplies power. The drive line penetrates the skin. That's the source
of
infection.
It creates a space for infection to set in, right?
The VASCor design, we don't have a drive line. We use what's called a transcutaneous energy transfer system, which we have a patent on.
Oh, my.
And that transfers the energy magnetically. So it's sort of like these chargers for your phone.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's charging through your skin?
Right. So there's a coil on the inside and then a coil on the outside, and that's how we can supply power to it. So that eliminates the root cause of the serious adverse event, which is the infection. Well, we have other designs that are similar with the causes of bleeding and the causes of the stroke, et cetera. We've taken a novel approach that deals with the root cause. Whoops.
That is absolutely amazing. I mean, this is like blowing my mind that this type of
where are you in the process?
Where we're at in the process is right now what we need to do is some animal data. We have bench data, mock loop. The device works in the lab. We know it works in the lab, but we now have to prove that it works in vivo. And there are those folks who question whether we can actually do what we say we're doing. Right?
Of course.
So we have we've documented on the bench, but we have to document it in
Is there a timeline for that to happen, or is that?
Well, we're working on that right now.
Gotcha.
And we're also trying to raise some money.
Of course. So anyone who's listening, feel free to reach out to John Friel, who would like to invest in a guy with whose leadership has had a lot of successful track record.
Lots of it.
So it's not like Audrey and Jonathan are trying to put this together.
No, this is
exciting. These are patients that we can move the patients from class 4, like I mentioned, to what's called class 2. And class 2 are folks that can lead a normal life they're not going to be playing racquetball every day or running marathons.
So they can get out of the couch and
they can, yeah, they can function as sort of a normal,
that's gotta
not
be
heavy
just,
exercise.
That's got to be just so huge. I mean, I can't imagine if you're a class four. I mean, you're basically staring death in the eyes at that point.
That's
and to,
right.
to be at two and be like, no, I can live. I can enjoy life.
And Dr. Like, that's Holland, amazing. You know, typical yeah. fashion, his desire here is he wants to see this technology
yeah.
be right. made available to people. He thinks he's got something here.
I just find it amazing that you're,
lots of folks.
Yeah, so. It's so amazing that you're working with him again. It's like the old band is getting back together again. I think nothing but good things can come from that.
Yeah, it was funny because I ended up being back in the same office that I was in 1980 when he first hired me.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is so cool.
Talk about deja vu, right?
So cool.
That's so cool. So what can we hear from you, like in 6 months? We check back on you because you're the next leg of the
journey. We raise some money, and we have to do the animal work is next. Then you get an IDE. You do human clinical trials. So you get a PMA, and then with FDA approval, then you can market the device. So, and we're working with a key institution, University of Louisville. They are the center, at least east of the Mississippi, who's been involved in all these different heart VAD type projects, or anything,
okay.
all
right.
the devices that have had to do with cardiac support, they've been involved with. And so they're like number one.
Very cool.
And we're aligned with them. We're ready to go. So we just we got to raise the money in order to pay for the animals and pay for the lab time and all that kind of stuff. So,
wow.
It's just amazing all the way around. Only in Pittsburgh can someone like John Freely, who's been through so many companies, built such success, built great teams, and now you're back to your roots, which
right.
is so cool going all the way around. And then being here. So what do you think? I've got a couple minutes left of resources like LifeX, where we're hosting the show tonight,
well,
to help these companies move forward.
Yeah, LifeX. We're fortunate to be one of the portfolio companies for LifeX. And you know, their role is incubator. They help companies to design and staff up and raise money to advance the different technologies. Where they're going to help us in particular, the interest that we wanted to, why we wanted to work with the LifeX folks is they're going to help us with the fundraising efforts.
Exactly.
And you know, they're very well connected
right.
with a lot of companies. Raising money for medical devices isn't the same as it was 20 years ago. With the FDA risk, long timelines, there are alternate shorter return on investments that companies or venture capital can make. So the LifeX folks are very well connected with those companies that are still willing to and understand the risks and are making investments in medical device companies.
Absolutely.
So that's primarily where they're going to help us out.
Great stuff. So cool being here at LifeX, bringing you this show.
Great.
I feel like I'm at the epicenter where some of the cool stuff is happening. John Friel from VASCOR, an absolute veteran of all things life sciences in the Pittsburgh region. Such a pleasure to have you on the show tonight, John.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks
Just
for asking me.
Love it. And once again, our thanks to Huntington Bank for hosting our Tech Vibe neighborhood tour here at LifeX. I mean, it's just an amazing place to be, and so glad we'd be part of it, Audrey. Simple as that. So cool.
Yeah.
This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and we're in a bit of awe right now. And we'll see you next week on the air, that's for sure. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.